I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. John Shields joins me now. If you've followed British Columbia politics in the last 30 years or so, he's a familiar name. He was active for many years in the labor movement here, culminating in 14 years as president of the BC Government and Service Employees Union. He joins me today not to talk about that, rather his life before and after his years in the labor sector. Mr. Shields was born in New York City and received a graduate degree in theology from St. Paul's College in Washington, D.C. He'd worked with Martin Luther King Jr. and taught theology on both sides of the border. An ordained priest in the Roman Catholic Church, he left it in the 1960s. In the light of Benedict XVI's resignation as Pope, it'll be interesting to get Mr. Shields' take on the contemporary church and where it's headed. Over the last 20 years, he's taken a keen interest in the connection between science and spirituality. He's got a deep interest in contemporary cosmology, so we'll reflect on that too. He recently published a book, The Priest Who Left His Religion in Pursuit of Cosmic Spirituality. It's from Influence Publishers, and you can get it on Amazon as well as through his own website, johntshields.ca. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, John Shields. Mr. Shields, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
That's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. So we'll begin with the resignation of Benedict XVI. He has since resigned, and I guess the conclave is shortly. Have you got any insight as to why he left?
I think there's a combination of things. You know, that the Vatican authorities claim that the documents that the butler, his butler, personal butler, took from his possession were filled with scandalous information about financial corruption of the Vatican. The Pope quickly pardoned him so that the information has not really gotten a very wide distribution, but that's certainly one of the possibilities. And the other, of course, is the very festering sore in the Catholic Church, which is the connection to the widespread abuse of children by priests and bishops and the cover-up that reaches all the way up to the highest levels of the cardinals. That scandal just rightly will not go away just simply by ignoring it, and that sat on Benedict's doorstep throughout his papacy. So I think he's got some very serious issues on his plate. And not the least of which is the widespread decline of the number of people participating in the life of the church in the last 20 or 30 years. It has dropped off dramatically, certainly in Europe and North America. The steady decline of participation in church life has been noted by disinterested observers just looking at the fact that the church seems to be dying.
So the resignation of Benedict XVI means what in terms of the future of the church? Is this a time for the church to revitalize itself, perhaps, or is this, as I say, the beginning of the end, maybe?
Well, it certainly could be an opportunity for the church to revitalize itself. It's any time that there's a vacancy in the top office, there's an opportunity to rethink and redirect the work of the church. Unfortunately, from my perspective, all of the electors, all of these cardinals who are under 80, who will sit in the room and choose the next leader, have all been appointed either by Benedict or his immediate predecessor, John Paul, with a requirement almost that they be conservative theologically and not very daring personally, so that the likelihood that the church is going to take a new direction or renew itself is pretty small given the mindset of the people who will be in the room making the choice.
So what are the immediate challenges of a new pope, whoever he might be? I mean, is it really modernizing the church? I mean, from what you've said is to the people who are the men who are in the conclave, they don't seem to be modernizers in that sense.
No, certainly not. I think The Vatican Council that took place in the 1960s was called by John the 23rd specifically to renew the church. And they spent 4 years at it, going through some pretty deep recommendations and decisions about change, almost all of which have been denied or ignored by the popes who came after the council. I'll give you an example. In my years in the seminary, which is a six-year course of studies, the 5 years behind me and the 5 years ahead of me, of my time, 80% of the men who were ordained priests in the Paul's Fathers during that period of time have subsequently left the priesthood. It's a massive exodus of intelligent, aware, committed men who had wanted to be priests and realized that there was something radically wrong with what had taken place after Vatican II. And one of the key things, I'll give you another prime example, the scripture scholars said to the church, the only way you can understand the Bible is if you understand the intention of the writer. And the intention of the writer of Genesis was not to give a history of the beginning of the world. There was no intention to teach an actual Garden of Eden or an actual Adam and Eve or an actual sin. And so the church heard from the scholars that their belief in original sin was unfounded, at least unfounded. You can't draw it from Genesis in the scriptures, which would have meant a glorious opportunity for the church to drop its emphasis on sex and sin and everything below the belt line, and go back to the Jesus message of love one another, social justice, peace in the world. Instead of taking that course, the church denied the information, denied the opportunity to renew itself, did a major cover-up of the information about the fact that there was no original sin or Adam and Eve to have caused one, and just simply tried to pretend that the information was not available to them, and they pretty well succeeded. I think most Catholics don't know that the Vatican Council gave a platform for doctrinal renewal, because it would have meant that the church would have had to admit it, that it isn't infallible, that it has made mistakes, that it continues to make grievous mistakes, and in its effort to seem like a perfect institution guided by God, who can't ever make a mistake, they get deeper and deeper into the mire of people just simply not believing it, priests leaving the church, and the spiral goes down and down. It's a dying institution, and this is just another step on the long, slow disintegration of the Catholic Church, in my view.
And so that, seeing this, that precipitated your departure from the church, is that right?
When I saw that the Pope Paul VI, who replaced John the 23rd and ended the Vatican Council, when I saw that he knew that there was no original sin and then put out a proclamation that people had to believe in it, I realized his commitment to the truth and to renewal was simply not there. And it was like the 13th stroke of the clock for me. Not only was that wrong, but everything else that the church stood for in terms of integrity, commitment to truth, just was not part of their agenda. And when they asked me to amend my understanding of teaching of theology to include something that I knew was untrue and they knew was untrue, I my own integrity required that I leave.
Now, I don't know if you've heard of Ralph Mayer say this in his years as a talk show host in this part of the world. He used to talk about the Church of God as opposed to the corporate church. For you, when you left the Catholic Church, did you, I mean, you were a priest, you ceased to be a priest, Did you still have the Christian faith in your heart?
I searched far and wide to see if I could find spirituality that was not reliant on suspect doctrine. And I had a very difficult time going to churches and hearing things that just upset me coming from the priest on the altar. So it was a time for me where I was losing my ability to listen to preachers, to listen to priests talk garbage from the altar. And so I just simply stopped going to church. And not long after that experience, the doctrine started to come under more serious question. And by, I guess, 4 or 5 years after I had left the clergy, I just simply could not believe in anything that the church had been teaching and was continuing to teach. And it was emotionally upsetting to me just to listen to priests tell married people that they couldn't practice birth control. I became a social worker and realized that many people in the social services field are far more sensitive to the needs of individuals than the clergy happen to be. So, I must say the downward spiral from Christianity just kept going until there was practically nothing left. I turned my hand to practicing social justice in social work and eventually in the union movement, and I found a measure of a solid place to put my sense of wanting to do something for the world in a different venue than the church.
And along the way, and this is borne out in your book. I haven't finished your book yet, but I'm sure mm-hmm. you talk about this, and that is yes. your journey on the search for the spiritual, and you've yes. continued that beyond, say, religion. Looking at cosmology. People might not know what cosmology is. They think it has to do with cosmetics, but it doesn't,
yeah.
right?
It's a difficult word and not a common one. But it's the look at the universe as a whole. And the reason why I started to pay attention to it is that in the early 1990s, NASA, the American Space Agency, brought back images from a probe that had been 5 years in space looking at the heavens, and what they confirmed was they had a photographic representation of the Big Bang, the afterbirth of the universe, in which they confirmed that the universe has not always been there. It is not static. It is not a material inert thing that we tended to believe, but instead was a dynamic, ongoing energy in which everything is interconnected, and that the universe as an intelligent being seems to be working for its own creation, its own evolution, its own unfolding, which was so different than anything I had ever understood. But a living universe, as the scientists are now coming to acknowledge, is in fact a spiritual universe. It is a conscious universe that's tending in a direction towards life, and once I discovered that, I got deeper and deeper into it, and I think that's my passion these days is to try and understand what that means for people if the religious story, the Jesus story, is being eclipsed by a new story. What does that new story tell us about who we are and how we are to be in the world?
Now, this relationship between science and spirituality, I mean, it is there, right? I mean, we've heard from say, religious people, we hear of religious people who reject science, and vice versa, scientific yeah. people who are atheists and the sort. For you, there is a relationship there?
Absolutely is now. I think the dispute between science and and religion goes back to the time after Galileo used the first telescope to see the stars moving around the sun and not the earth, and so all of the framework in which the church had formulated its beliefs collapsed in a very quick way, and science moved on, but the church didn't. And so there became kind of a schism between the two. And what complicated it, I think, was that some of the scientists said that the world is nothing but matter and there's no such thing as spirit. And for several hundred years, that's the way we in the West have been tending to regard the world around us, as just meaningless stuff, in which there is nothing but, you know, being born, dying, and that's the end of us. That materialistic view of the universe has been proven to be flawed. It's a misunderstanding of the nature of the universe, and that's only come to light in the last 20 years, based on the adventures of, or the explorations of scientists who are just simply willing to follow where the facts take them, and the facts are taking them into a view of the universe that's interconnected, that's developing, that's evolutionary, that's tending towards higher and higher structures and complexes, and at the end of that line, or at least in the arc of that line, it is aimed at life and sustaining life in the universe. So scientists have had to change, and I think people who are interested in spirituality are coming to recognize that the universe itself is conscious, and that that consciousness is the source of the wisdom and deep spirituality that I have been looking for.
I had Orrin Hatch on the program a couple weeks ago, and he's a Mormon, as well as a United States senator. We spent time talking about his faith, because it's sort of interesting, you know, that after the Romney run, to see how the reaction that people had towards people of his faith, whether that's changed or not. And I asked him whether he thought a greater adherence to faith would mean for a better America, and his answer was what you'd expect, as someone who is a member of that church, that, yeah, people should be more religious. In your case, do you think that, from your experience, I should say, do you think people should be more spiritual, that they have to have that aspect of their life in their lives?
I if I could say that what I mean by spiritual is a development of our higher consciousness, that as individuals, we evolve, hopefully refining our sense of who we are in the world and what we are to be in the world. And so I think the story that the church evolved, the story of creation and the God of the Old Testament and Jesus as God, that story that explained everything from birth to death and to the end of the world, that story just doesn't hold up anymore. It's scientifically not compelling, and that what is emerging is a testable understanding of the universe that's far more dynamic and far more and has far better answers to who we are and what we're about. So if we are interested in finding reasons to protect the environment, to stop putting poisons into the air and the water, and degrading our universe, our atmosphere and our environment, understanding that we're of the earth, that we're of the universe, that we are part and parcel of it, we're not separate from it or looking at it as a distant, meaningless thing, the new integration, the new explanation that we are all part of an unfolding cosmos, I think it's a far more compelling demanding idea. And my sense is that we are in this moment, you and I, because there's something only we can contribute to the unfolding of the universe, and that we're at the breaking edge of time-space. There's nothing ahead of us that we are not contributing to its formation, and so the need for conscious participation in the unfolding of the universe, I think, calls on humanity for a higher level of response than we've made to date. Religion has said nothing about any of that, and it's become irrelevant. I think the new understanding of the cosmic reality, the reality of the Earth, the reality of who we are in time and space, that's an everyday thing that demands a response from us. So I think what I understand of the new story of the universe eclipsing the old story from the Bible gives me a purpose. It gives me a sense of optimism and knowing that I am of this unfolding universe, I think has set my mythic imagination on fire, and I see as the story becomes better known, it will engage humanity in a far deeper set of behaviors that will protect the environment, that will unite us as a people around the world living in peace. I think all of those old wishes for humanity and for the world flow out of our understanding of the universe as it is now.
Now, in the course of your life, from the time that you were a priest and then you left the church, and now that you've pursued other studies, one assumes that you engage in this process to find answers to, questions that you might have as to life, why we're here, what people are for. Through the course of your life, have you found the answers that you're looking for?
I have found big questions, Joe, and I think I found indications that the conscious universe is communicating with us in our time, telling us about itself, and giving us a mandate to go deeper and to continue to ask the big questions. So it's not a satisfied place. It certainly is a place where I think I've had enough responses to my curiosity that makes me continue to be curious and to ask the larger questions and pursue where the information takes me.
Have you got any answers as to what happens to us after life?
I think the universe that we now know is not matter, it's energy. That at the core of the unfolding universe, the post-Big Bang understanding, it's conscious energy that has developed the outrush that has formed the galaxies and stars and expanded space. So the psychic or spiritual conscious energy leads to materiality. So at the foundation of the universe is this outflow of energy. And then energy, the scientists tell us, can't be added to, can't be destroyed, does not diminish. And if you would just think for a minute that you're animated and I'm animated in this conversation, and that there's energy flowing through each of us as we pursue the questions and the reflections. That energy is what I think people used to think about as soul. Not in a separated dualistic sense, but we are part and parcel of matter energy, psychic and spiritual dimensions. And when our arc of life is over, that energy continues. The energy that was connected to our bodies isn't destroyed, but it does connect to, I think, what scientists are describing as the zero-point field, where the universe remembers everything and holds everything and gathers everything for its future unfolding. So we're part of that. We're in it, and we're likely to continue to be energy beings even after death.
This is fascinating stuff. One can talk all day to you about it. And I suggest that people pick up the book and learn more, and then people can engage with you through your website. Is that right?
That's right, for sure.
Yeah. Just a thought about, a question I should say about politics. You were president of the BCGEU, as I said, for 14 years. Are you still active in say, political activities or activities in the labor sector?
Far less than I was. I'm an ombudsperson for the Canadian Labor Congress, and I do interact with labor leaders more as a senior elder than as an active participant. So I continue to be interested, but not actively involved in that way anymore.
Have you got any thoughts as we head into the election in May?
Well, it's ample time for renewal in British Columbia, and I think the population as a whole seems to understand that, and it seems to be unfolding that there'll be a change in direction, and hopefully the new government, probably a new Democratic government, has learned some things about how it should be governing from its last experience, and we'll continue to see higher consciousness come to the fore as people try their best to find healthy pro-environment directions for things.
John, I found this conversation today quite fascinating. I appreciate your time today.
Joe, it's a pleasure. It's I don't every day get a chance to think about these things or talk about them with people, but I certainly have enjoyed talking to you.
The website for more, johntshields.ca. The book is called The Priest Who Left His Religion in Pursuit of Cosmic Spirituality. I'm reading it now, and it's just a fascinating book, and builds on a lot of the ideas that we've talked about here. So people ought to pick it up. It's available on Amazon and off of John's site. John Shields on the line from Victoria in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.